Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey, everyone. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro. Hey, Gino.
Hi, Joel. How are you doing?
Good. So this is our part two of teaching the kids or the family about money.
So this is my favorite topic. Yes. So you're going to hear me, I don't want to say dominating the conversation, but really giving people a lot of tips on how to teach our kids about money. And also, let's explore our own ideas about money. I want to start off again with the questions that we had on the last podcast and ponder them and really think, have you answered those questions or have you just thought about them and said, you know what, that doesn't really pertain to me? Because I will be completely honest with you. I have had complete changes in thoughts about money from 5 years ago to where I am today, from reflecting, from working on it, from reading books, from surrounding myself with other people who, you know, are at a different level than me. So the first one is, what is money? Take a few seconds, write down what you think money is to you. What is money to you again, Julia?
It's the freedom to be able to not so much do what you want to do, but kind of do the things you want to do for other people with the freedom of not having to worry about not being able to, you know, provide for your own family.
Couldn't have said it better.
Really?
Myself.
Okay.
Yes. As you can see, I'm always teasing
my wife. I was really nervous.
You know, money to me is, I'm going to be completely honest with you, Julia. To me, money now is if one of my children wants to go on a pilgrimage and I have to write a check to it, I don't have to think about it. Like, I'm not paying for that, right? I don't have to worry about that. I can feel like, you know what, we have enough money now. Let's utilize it. Let's enjoy it. Whereas when you come from the scarcity mindset, I can't afford that, to like what Rick Dad says is, how can I afford that? There's got to be a way for me to afford something now. I just have to figure out how. Whereas years ago, I was shut down. I wouldn't be creative. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, you know what? And I'll give you an idea. Look, this is a book that Jake and I launched. It's being launched in the next 2 to 3 weeks, mid-October, it's coming out. Now, this is a product.
Play it here
this
on
is,
YouTube.
This
can
is,
you see it?
Yeah, there's all for YouTube viewers. Yeah. It's called The Honeybee. And it's another one of those where, you know, I can't write another book. It's not, I can't write another book. It's how can I write another book? So the same thing with money. Just watch how you use your words.
Before we go on, that actually reminds me of something. Is your intention of, you know, if why is it that you want to make a lot of money? What's the intention? Because is it to prove yourself to somebody else? Because a lot of us, I've seen, you know, they'll go to college and become a doctor because they want to prove to someone that they can do it. But is that what you want to do? So in, with the book, did you want to write a book or, you know, what was your intention to write it?
Well, to get down into the weeds, the intention to write it is for a lead magnet, to get more people to sign up to the community, to show our credibility, not so much as to monetize on it, because you don't make money when you write a book. You mm-hmm. may break even. It's not the end game. The end game is to have people read it, enjoy it, connect with you, love to read it, and possibly, hey, I read their book, I'd love to go to their live event, or I'd like to sign up to their program, or I'd like to learn more about them. That's why we ended up writing the book. It was just an enjoyable mm-hmm. read, and it's just basically a parable on what Jake and I have done over the last few years, building a business, creating multifaceted streams of it. And if we can give the listeners or the readers out there a couple of tips on how to scale their business, it was well worth writing. Is that worth it?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I want to talk about in this show is a little bit about The Richest Man in Babylon, and I want to talk about types of income and investor laws. I think it's really important. And also setting goals for money. What are your money goals? So let's talk about the three types of income. The first one is earned income. When someone goes out there and has a W-2 job, now earned income in The Honeybee, Noah was a salesman. He was a pharmaceutical rep. Wonder where that came from. And he was out there and he was just had his W-2 job. He's spinning his wheels. There's nothing wrong with earned income. We all need to do it. That's where we start off with. But that's where the majority of people rest. Even wealthy individuals who create a lot of money when they're rich, they make a lot of money. Once they stop working, they stop earning. So their focus is all on earned income. The next one is portfolio income. That's income where you have stocks and bonds, and where you have money in accounts, trading. That's portfolio income. Getting dividends, that's the second one. The third one is passive, like writing a book. Passive income that you get from the royalties from the book. You have real estate. You have you do a commercial. Anything that's once you do it, it's done and it comes in passively. That's the third type of income. Now, this is really important. When you're investing, this might be a little too high level to teach a child, but just for all the listeners out there, Rich Dad talks about this, the three laws of the investor. Now, the three laws are really important because every time you look at an investment, you want to look at it and you want to apply these laws to it, or at least two of these laws fit to it. The first one is leverage. You want to be able to leverage in an investment, and that goes with business. That's why we're doing these podcasts, because these podcasts allow us to leverage our voice. We spend an hour recording this podcast and do all the work, but how many people do we reach that? So don't always think about leverage just as leveraging other people's money. You can leverage other people's time. You can leverage other people's platforms like a podcast, or we just leverage a lot of time by writing a book and now it gets into people's hands. So that's leveraging time. The next one is liquidity. Does the investment have liquidity? Are you able to sell it off quickly? Now, real estate is not a liquid asset, but what real estate is you can refinance the property. So there's some liquidity on that aspect of it. And the third one is control. You have control with the investment. So leverage, liquidity, and control. You want to add anything to that, Joel?
No, that was good information.
As you can see, I love teasing my wife. And these are principles that I want you to share with your children. And first, you have to learn about these principles. So if you haven't read The Richest Man in Babylon, or you haven't read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, those are two books you need to read. And then give them to your children. If your children are at least 15 years old, they can both read those books and both understand those books. Now, let's talk about setting money goals. Mm-hmm. You know, I would challenge everyone out there to say, what is your why? You know, why are you going to work? Find out what your sole purpose is, and also discover and explore what that relationship with money is. For me also, it resonated with me when Julia said a little while ago, why did you want to make money? Because as a business person, it's all like KPIs, key performance indicators. So when you're making money, that shows that you have results, and that's not the way to look at it. You need the results first, and then the money shows up. So for me, that was my paradigm shift. What was the relationship with money? Why was I making money? Would I make money just to show as if I was having a successful business? Mm-hmm. That's not the way I should have been thinking about it. I was. So once I changed that shift and not worried about how much money I made, but what my results were, that's when everything changed for me.
And that's important too, to teach each other, spouses, but also the children on the reason why you want to make money. Because, you know, you want to just keep racking up the money in the bank. Well, what are you going to do with it? What's your reason for it? Or, like I said before, are you trying to prove yourself that you could do it and you could be successful? But success is not just money. So what's your purpose for it, mm-hmm. to make it?
And the saddest thing that I see is, and I know a lot of people like this, what they do is, I know a gentleman in where I used to live up in New York. He saves his money. As he gets older, he has millions of dollars in this savings account, in his checking account, and he's retired. And then he comes into the restaurant and he doesn't want to pay for anything. He's as cheap as the day is long. So I would say, what's wrong with this person? Unfortunately, he was probably raised in a time of scarcity. So he has a scarcity mindset. So he may be wealthy and a millionaire on the outside, as far as having enough money in the bank. But when you rip it down and you look at it, I mean, he's living a really poor life. He has so much money, he can't even enjoy his money because he's not thinking about this abundance mindset. He's thinking about the scarcity mindset. So when you're out there and you're teaching your kids to save money, tell them why we're saving it. We're saving it to enjoy it. We're saving it as the wealthy would do. The wealthy are the ones who buy assets. Middle class are the ones who buy assets that they think they're assets, but they're liabilities, like a home and like a car. And the poor, unfortunately, are the ones who buy liabilities. So those are the three differences. But
okay, so to get awareness, then what's the questions that you would ask yourself for somebody out there to get awareness and to keep it? Because you know how it is, where you have the intention, you have the reason for it, you have that awareness. And then as the time goes on, you start making money and you forget.
So you remember we had talked in the previous podcast about creating those buckets? I think you do create a bucket for your financial freedom account. what I call my financial freedom account is my savings account, where I'm going to dedicate that money solely to making my investments.
Because okay. A lot of us forget the why. Sometimes years will go on and you're, mm-hmm. Just want to make one, like for in your business, you want to get one more deal and then we can do this. And we forget the why because it's almost like a thought in our head. Yeah, we'll get there, but let's just do one more. Let's mm-hmm. get one more deal and then we can do this. So how do you hold on to that why?
So for me, it's all about having clarity. And, if you haven't used a life coach, I would recommend everyone out there, Googling the word life coach and seeing someone that you can work with. Just even for a few calls, becoming clear on what you want. When I went to coaching school, that just made my life a lot clearer. I wanted to have a business that I could become financially free, but also that I could help others. So that's what led me to Gino's Family. It's the first business that we started. And I love that business. And I learned so much from that business. And if I hadn't gone to coaching school, I probably would not have started that business because I wasn't clear on what I wanted. I didn't hate the restaurant per se. I just didn't like some principles on it. So I translated that into Gino's Family. And then from there, we started Jake and Gino. So get clear on what you want and get clear on what your why is. If you figure out what your why is, my why was family, my why was food, my why was faith, then you'll be able to understand mm-hmm. how to do it. Mm-hmm. And how to do it for me originally was through Gino's Family. And now I guess it's morphed into Jake and Gino because there's a community there. There's a family feel aspect to it. I'm helping people out. Mm-hmm. We're having these events where families are coming and it's so enjoyable for me. The next one is the relationship with money. Let's figure out what your relationship with money is. And I started about talking about creating a financial freedom account, your savings account. Open up a checking account. Those are for your expenses. Open up an account for charity so you can start putting money into charity. Because once you start earning more money, what's going to happen is we talked about in the previous podcast, the Diderot effect, when you start consuming more, all of a sudden you start making more money and you're still giving the same amount of charity as you were when you were making less money. So as you grow and you start earning more, I think you should start becoming more charitable. And if you're not doing that with money, at least do that with your time.
And too, just to reassess, right? So as you do grow your business or start making more money, mm-hmm. to reassess every once in a while and say, okay, you know what? We're making more now. Let's change it up a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. These are a couple of Dave Ramsey's principles, and I think everybody should have them. You should teach your kids to set up an emergency fund. Set up a $1,000 emergency fund. That might be a lot. It might take you a year or 2 years to set it up. But once you have that $1,000 and your car breaks down, or you have to fix your air conditioner, or you have to fix a hot water heater, or an unexpected event occurs, you have that money set aside. You don't have to stress out for it. You have it there. Take it out of your emergency fund. Use it. Pay that emergency. If you think your emergency fund needs to be more, fund it with more, but do that. And then when it's used up, replenish it right away. You want to have that money set aside. And it's such a better feeling when your car breaks down and you know that you can go ahead and fix it. You don't have to stress out about it. Mm-hmm. The next thing is to set up a 3 to 6 month savings account for an emergency. For instance, if you have a health issue. For instance, if you want to leave your job. For instance, if something happens where you just can't work for those couple months, you have at least 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses set aside. That's such a comforting thing. I was able to leave the restaurant. I didn't have 3 to 6 months. I had more, and I was able to have other passive forms of income help me pay and leave. But that comfort of having 6 months of income in the bank, it gives you the opportunity. Maybe you just want to go on vacation for a month and not work for a month and take some time off. That's a powerful thing. Yeah. Just the idea empowering to do that will give you the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, this is something too that has to do with marriage. And I mean, money can be the number one issue in a marriage, right? The number one problem, I should say, because it is such a stress. And so that is important too, to really focus on and say, okay, is there an issue with marriage, with money in our marriage? And if there is, let's work on it. Let's talk about it. Because a lot of times we just have these expectations of each other. For me, I could have assumed when we got married that my husband was going to work all the time and make a lot of money. And that was it. So what happens if he didn't? Where would our marriage be?
Didn't you assume that though?
Yes.
Okay. Just wondering.
We talked about it.
I thought that was the assumption. Okay.
So my point is, if you lost a job, would I still be happy? If you didn't make as much money as you did when we first got married, would I be happy? And the answer should be yes, because I didn't marry you for your money. And that's something that people have to remember, is that you're marrying each other to love each other. That should be your priority. So if your husband is out of work for a couple of months.
Or if your wife is out of work.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just talking from my side. But yeah, if one of us is out of work, we're not providing. You know, if we're sitting on the couch, not doing anything, not looking for a job, then yeah, that's an issue. You got to work. You got to yell at the guy to get up. But if you're out there trying to work, trying to find a job, I, as the wife in this situation, should be supportive and helping, not nagging, not saying you haven't found anything yet. What's wrong with you? That is a stress because you're supposed to be working together. We're supposed to be a team working together. And money can be a serious issue in a marriage because it's you know, that unmet expectations.
Unmet expectations.
There's more than just money.
Under promise and over deliver. That's what I did. I said, we're going to live a pretty comfortable lifestyle. And then you just try to over deliver. What I want to do now is go over the 7 cures in The Richest Man in Babylon. So if you have a pen and paper, just take it out. And I'm going to dive through these real quick for you. But you're going to see how simple it is to start. And then that's what it's all about. It's just about starting. It's about creating the habit to actually start to save money. And once you start putting money in the bank, you're going to see your bank account start growing. And whatever you focus on grows. So the first one is just save 10% of all your income. Now, most people out there are going to say, I can't even save 2%. How am I going to save 10%? Save whatever you can and then start stretching it out. And one of the things that I like about 401ks, the only thing probably is that you can take money out of your check and directly deposit it into a 401k account. Maybe you do that with your regular check and have it go to a savings account and have the rest go to a checking account and just do that automatically without you even taking the money. And once you can start living off of less, you'll see how important and how cool it is just to have your start money saving up. And that saving, I would call your financial freedom account. That's what I would call it. The next one is to control your expenditures. You have to control your expenditures. If you're living above your means, you have to be able to control those expenditures. That is the kiss of death as far as a budget. If you're budgeting for $1,000 a month and you're spending $1,300 a month, you're going to go on the red and you're going to create, you know, you're going to create debt. And that is not what you want to do. That is a surefire way to go bankrupt. So yeah. You have to control your expenditures.
And that's important too for me when the kids come out, like we were talking about in the last one, where when they come with us to the store, it's just twice as much money. And that's just what it is. So you have two options. You cannot bring them, or you could bring them and teach them and say, listen, you know, the question always is, do we need this right now or can this wait for another time? Is it really that important? Yes, it looks like fun, but maybe we should wait for your birthday, for Christmas, some, you know, something special. And to teach them to control, because, you know, we can control, we can always say no, but how about, why don't we teach them, is it a good time? Is it the right time?
So there's a couple of things that come to mind on that. The first thing is, I challenge you to leave your credit cards home and to bring cash. So that when you go to the store, you only have $100. You show your kids, yeah, this is all I have. We need to buy these groceries, mm-hmm, and this. There might be, and buy a little treat. There's nothing wrong with spending a couple bucks on, mm-hmm, something. And make it fun, but you don't have to spend $52 on stuff that you don't need.
Yeah.
Bring cash. And it's the same thing when you go to a restaurant. Studies show, mm-hmm, that when you go to a restaurant with a credit card, you spend 30% more. Mm-hmm. Because my wife is the dessert eater. But I guarantee you, if we go without a credit card and, right, we have $100 cash and we're looking at what we're spending and dessert comes, we're like, we can't afford dessert. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. That's, absolutely, you're still controlling your expenditures. So
it's important to teach the kids that. And that's what, you know, even if you go out for, you know, we try to take the kids out on a little date here and there. Coffee date, what is it? $10 tops maximum. You know, I think we're okay with that. You know what I mean? But it's important for them to see, or if they have money to bring cash, like Gino said, because then they see the money. If something costs $7 and they have a 10, it's like, okay, you know, you're good.
I love that. My son, it happened to him recently where we go out. When you're making $10 an hour busing tables, all of a sudden everything becomes clear,
exactly,
in life. He's got to work, as I said in the previous podcast, he's got to work 1 hour to go to a coffee shop and spend $10. Mm-hmm. So it becomes very relevant to him to say, wow, I just worked an hour in the sun, sweating,
right,
opening up umbrellas and clearing tables.
That's why I like cash better.
Yes, and I bought, you know, two coffees and a muffin for 10, yeah, bucks. I just, mm-hmm, worked a whole hour for that. So let them start having that relationship with money and let them start looking at it. But I love to go shopping with the kids, so I splurge a little more than I do, and I make it an event. I would also say, on your computer, get Amazon browser off. I was walking by a pizzeria yesterday, and, you know, this is the impulse buying. I walk by and I look in, Jewel, and I say, oh, this slice is like great Anthony's pizza. Mm-hmm. So I almost walked in and got a slice because I was a little bit hungry. So there's a temptation. There is the instant gratification. Mm-hmm. Get those instant gratifications off.
Okay, but I also have to say Amazon. Okay. You can use it very wisely.
When you need to use it wisely.
Okay. I don't go on it just to browse, right? So if I have something in my mind, I could go to Target and get it. And you know what happens when we go there.
So says Julia. She doesn't go on the browse. I'm just saying. All I know, everyone out there, do you feel my pain? Amazon, credit card. Bing, 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 bing,
bing. The good thing about Amazon, it doesn't give the details when you get it in the credit card. It just says Amazon. But hear me out for a second, because this is true. If I go to the store and buy that one item, I will come home with 30 items that I didn't really need, but I did kind of. Maybe eventually I would need. But if I go on Amazon, free shipping, two-day shipping, I get that one item and it comes. And yeah, it's okay, you get little bills here and there, but I really, if you use it wisely, it actually does.
But that's what I'm saying.
Long run pay off.
That's what I'm saying. Use it wisely. But if you have it open on your browser and you're just going on and taking a look,
no,
I buy books.
We don't take. We don't take a look. If it's a kid's birthday,
yes,
they'll take a look.
Yes.
But no, for the most part, if I go to the store to find that item, I will definitely come out with a lot.
So you guys have seen. Number one is save 10%. Number two is control expenditures. You see,
and everyone knows what I'm talking about.
You see where my pain is. Control your expenditures is number two. Number three, make your money multiply. Just because you're saving money and it's sitting there, if you're not deploying that money and making it multiply, making it work for you, it's going to be stagnant. And we know right now that savers in our economy over the last 10 to 15 years are losers because you're earning 2%. You're not even earning enough for inflation. Mm-hmm. So number three is make your money multiply. Number four, which is the opposite of number three, it's guard from loss. You want it to multiply, but you still don't want to lose your principal, to lose money. And how do you do that? In one of his five laws in the book, in Richard Clayson's book, is you only want to work with people that know what they're doing. So, you know, in the book, there was a shield maker. He went over and he was buying jewels. So what does a shield maker know about buying jewels? Nothing. So the investment went profitable, went belly up. So if you're out there and you're in multifamily and you've never done a deal before and you want to get into multifamily and you see other people that are in there, they're doing it, maybe you go and invest with them first, learn the process, or go to an education platform like Jake and Gino, learn how to do multifamily and then do multifamily. So always partner up with somebody or always learn from somebody who's been it, who's done it before. And that's how you're going to guard from, you know, a potential loss, being surrounded by people who know how to do it. If you're investing with others, make sure that they have a track record. Make sure that the sponsor has done it before. Make sure that the sponsor is transparent. Just be able to make sure that you can vet them and you can do your due diligence. Number five is make thy dwelling profitable, which is really cool for people out there who are house hacking. If you have a duplex, best way to start in real estate is buy a duplex. When we were younger, we actually lived downstairs from my mother for a couple of years while I was building my home. So I didn't have a duplex. I could have bought one. We could have rented it out. That's one way to make your house profitable. The other way to make it profitable is to buy the house, maintain it, and make sure you pay your principal down if you're going to buy a single family home to live in. It's not an investment. It's more the way you feel. It's, you know, I love owning my own home. It's my family, it's my memories. I can afford to do it. If I couldn't, I definitely would have bought something with multiple units where I could have a carriage house to the side, where I could have an accessory unit underneath the house. I wouldn't mind doing that. I don't have to do that, but I would recommend making your house something profitable. Number six is to ensure future income. You need to invest money for your future. And for us, we just buy assets. So that's how we're ensuring the future income. Continuing to write books, continuing to have the passive income, continuing to buy deals. Like my wife likes to say, we're buying another deal.
But that's another, I hear that all the time.
That's another future stream of revenue. That's building the business, and that's building our future streams of revenue. And number seven, I think is probably the most important one, is to increase your ability to earn. Now, what does that mean? To me, that means increasing my ability to earn is to get educated. Go out there and buy the books. Go out there and join the masterminds. Go out there and join the communities. Go out there and go to the live events. We're having a live event October 19th and 20th at the Gaylord Palms. If you want more information, click down below or email me at gino@jakeandgino.com. These are all the places where you're going to continue to learn, continue to immerse yourself in the subject you want to learn, and continue to surround yourself with people who are like-minded. Mm-hmm. How you feel is going to affect a lot of what you do. So when you go to these events or you read these books, you have these positive images and positive, you know, messages in you, you're going to excel. You're going to take more action. So
this one those too, are all seven. I think that one's important because, you know, how do you make money? You know, for instance, for us, even with Gino's family, when we were talking about, that was just a passion that we had. Gardening, cooking, kids. That was something that, who makes money on that? You know, you can make money on anything. If you're good enough at it, or if you're educated enough at it, or you really research it, look outside the box. You know, it's always, we always think of a job. What job can I do to make more money? Think about other ways. There's always other ways. Everyone has talents that no one else has, abilities that other people don't have. So think outside the box.
I love that. And when we started Gino's Family, it was hard for me to understand how to monetize it because I was always looking at it from a hobby, from my passion, which is nothing wrong. But then all of a sudden we started understanding how to monetize a business. We wrote a cookbook. We started doing YouTube videos. We started on a training platform. We started selling physical products. We were sourcing products from China. This is nothing that I knew. This is all that I learned in the space of a year.
And it was all about finding someone that knew how to do stuff like that. We had Adam. We had another person helping us along. But he knew how to do it. And we kind of just blindly did it. We just started one after another. It's like, okay, let's try that. Let's try that. Something would work. Something wouldn't work. We'd lose money on one thing. Try another one. So it's all about trying, failing, trying something different. Maybe it might work.
It all comes back to your why. Why were we doing this? I was just so fed up with the restaurant. I saw that the restaurant had the ability to earn money, but I was trying to create a brand and trying to do something that I love to do and try to mix the two of them. Right. So really become clear on it. We spent a lot of money on masterminds, spent a lot of money on coaches and consultants. And I don't like to use the word spending money. Forgive me for saying that. I invested in ourselves.
That's important.
Because it was money that we invested years ago, and it's still here today, and I'm still continuing to grow.
You know what's interesting is when we started Gino's Family, the audio, the video, the editing, all of that stuff was so new to us. But we figured it out with the help of the guy that we had. He helped us. He showed me how to edit things. And from there, it actually rolled over to Jake and Gino because now I knew how to handle all that with Jake and Gino, and it was easier. We did have, you know, the cameras and the lighting and the, you know, the microphones. So that actually helped. It was kind of the foundation of how to.
That's right. So what my wife is trying to say, I think, is commit and then you'll figure it out. That's what we've done for a long time. If you just commit to something, we know why we want to do it. You'll figure out how to do it. Yeah. And that's the bottom line, but you really need to be clear
about it. And keep it positive because that's super important too. Because if it is a job and you're, you know, yes, it's tiring and all, but keep it fun, keep it exciting because then it's enjoyable to you. Because once you get to the point where you're like, oh, I don't want to do another video, then it's like, well, what am I doing this for?
And this is how committed we were. I took a whole week off in November to actually record and shoot and video all of the recipes in the cookbook. A whole 7 days. You should have seen the kitchen.
A lot of cleaning.
Oh, it was a lot of great food though. We were cooking lobster tails.
We
were cooking
osso buco.
and like for 7 days, I was off of work for 7 days. That was my vacation.
You know, that was a big deal. No, because you took that time off. That was unusual for you to actually say, I'm going to take off the restaurant and try something different.
But that was my vacation, quote unquote. Not many people wanted to do that.
Right.
But if you're committed to doing it and you know why you're doing it, it was a lot of fun. I still have the video. So if anybody wants the online training for those videos, email me at gino@jakeandgino.com. I love to share those videos because our kids are younger. We're cooking all the recipes
such
in the cookbook.
Food.
How to cook risotto, how to cook osso buco, roasted chicken. Everything is in there. It was awesome.
Yeah,
so,
no, that was a good time. I would love to continue that because to teach your children how to cook and be part of that is so special because that's the memories that they have. And they remember that as they're older. You know, you think back to when you used to cook in the kitchen with your grandma or your mom or whatever. And those are the memories. And I feel like these days we're so quick to order out or order the food that comes in the mail. What's it called?
I have no idea what it's called, but yeah, you know, fresh, something fresh, direct.
And we're skipping out on the part of the preparation for each other, the sacrifice for each other. the smell of the food cooking in the kitchen when you come home, all of that we're missing out on because we're so in a hurry with life. And, you know, just to simplify it is so special. You know, Thanksgiving dinner, to come into a kitchen and smell that, you know, you can't get that from takeout. You know, you can't get those things, you know, not that I'm against takeout because that's your brother's business right now.
Just, you know, make it once or twice a week. I read a disturbing something on Yahoo, the news article. I don't know if it's right or it's wrong, but they said that 30% of families that sit at the dinner table sit there in silence. Mm. 30%.
Yeah. I wonder how many people have their phones on their lap.
Let that sink in. Mm. There's silence.
Yeah.
You should be a really happy time of the day.
Right.
You should definitely have all the phones shut off. You should have your TV shut off. Even if it's for 10 minutes, recap, what did you guys do? You should see our meal. It's like nonstop talking. It's loud. Who sits next to who? Why didn't you get the forks? There's no water. There's no cups.
Yeah.
It's a battle every single
night.
It's
fun.
But it's a lot of fun.
And again, it's memories. And, you know, they're good memories. You keep it light. You keep it fun. You don't make a big deal about every single thing. But that's so important. I don't know how we're getting on food with money, but
I was just saying, well, that's my passion, right? My passion is about food.
It always comes back to money, to food.
And it comes to money and food, but it's important because, you know, I said in the first podcast, money can't buy every happiness, but poverty can't buy anything. So it's not that you're going to be happy once you make money, but just money's going to make your life a lot easier to do a lot of things. When you go out to the grocery store, you don't have to worry about it.
It's a less stress.
It's one less stress,
but we have to also be careful on not to take on another stress.
Mm-hmm. So
sometimes when we don't have, we hold on to one stress to keep us busy with that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be careful with that.
So I challenge everybody out there, read The Richest Man in Babylon. Read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Those are very simple reads. I think your whole mind shift is going to be changed about money. And then start focusing on how you can start creating and how you can start making more money.
Yeah. So my challenge is go to the grocery store with your whole family. Buy dinner together. Everyone help pay for it as far as, you know, watching the groceries get rung up. Pay for the meal. Go home. Cook it all together, sit down and eat together.
And then take a picture.
And we want to know about it.
And tag us in the picture.
We want to know what you ate. We want to know everything because I love that. That makes me so happy to see that. So please, please, please either, post it somewhere, let us know, tag us, send us an email, something.
So just to end the podcast, really look at your limiting beliefs about everything, about money, about time, about family. Go over those questions that we started off in the beginning. How does it relate to you? And think of ways that you can start earning more money, becoming more happy, more successful, and also looking at your soul purpose, what your passion is in life.
That sounds good.
Thanks, Jewel.
Thank you, everyone.
I want to thank everyone for listening. Mm-hmm. And if you like the show and you found value in the show, please leave us a review. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care.